This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may the peace and blessing of Allah be upon His servant and final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As to what follows, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So the last lesson that we had was about the life of Salman al-Farisi radiyallahu anhu. And we began with that story because it was a story of a quest for truth. It was the journey for truth. Now once one has finally arrived to the truth, and he has arrived and he has recognized the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he has accepted Islam as his deen, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as his messenger, and he enters Islam completely. Now we need to understand that there is one pillar in Islam that you're always supposed to hold on, and this is yani the difference between people entering the hellfire and entering the paradise, and that is at-tawbah ila Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So with us tonight is a story of tawbah, and let's first begin by asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bestow His mercy and His forgiveness upon us, and that He grant us and accept the tawbah before our death. My brothers and sisters in Islam, the believer, he's like a tall building, and every tall building that you see is founded upon pillars. And so the believer is a tall building that is founded upon one pillar. And that one pillar is your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so wallah, the most valuable asset you'll ever own in life is your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the only encouragement that keeps you motivated in life is your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's because of your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you attend here tonight. And anything that you learn tonight and implement of lessons from this story is just because of your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would seek forgiveness, istighfar, almost more than 100 times a day. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was in a gathering, when he leaves the gathering, he'll make istighfar and ask Allah azza wa jal for forgiveness. And when he begins his salat, Allahumma ba'id bayni wa bayna khatayai. Oh Allah, make a distance between me and my sins. Yani wash off and forgive my sins. And when he finishes his salat, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. And when he leaves the bathroom, ghufranaka, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. Why? Because he is concerned about his relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's exactly how the believer is supposed to be. He always needs to be concerned with his relationship, or about his relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To my brothers and sisters in Islam, do you have that concern that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us? You need to be concerned in terms of your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says in the hadith, تَحْتَرِقُونَ تَحْتَرِقُونَ, that you burn and you burn over and over again. Yani in other words, mankind are walking. They're walking around on the streets and they are literally on fire. They are burning because of their sins and their wrongdoings. For Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, فَإِذَا صَلَّيْتُمُ الصُّبْحَ غَسَلَتْهَا, when you pray salat al-fajr, it turns off and it washes off these sins. Then you burn and you burn. And when you pray salat al-duhr, it washes off those sins. And then you burn and you burn. And if you pray salat al-asr, it washes off the sins. And you burn and you continue to burn. And when you pray salat al-maghrib, it washes away the sins. And you burn until salat al-isha. Once you pray salat al-isha, it washes off the sins. And then you sleep and nothing is written upon you. Yani, we need to understand, my brothers and sisters in Islam, what does tawbah mean? We need to understand. Do you understand what at-tawbah is? It means that people are walking on the street, they are on fire, but they don't feel it. What tawbah, repentance, is what is going to extinguish this fire in your life. That's what tawbah is. At-tawbah, my brothers and sisters in Islam, is when a person is walking on the sirat on the day of judgment. And the path is very tight, and it's gloomy, and it's dark, and it's scary. And Jahannam is from underneath, it wants to grab him and take him in. And then all of a sudden, the path becomes wide as far as the eye can see. And the path becomes full of light. And angels will take by his hand until he makes it safely to the other side. Why? Because of his tawbah, because of his repentance, he almost failed. However, his tawbah saved him on that day. A tawbah, my brothers and sisters in Islam, is when a person is being judged right before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And his sins are being placed on the scale of the sins. And they're being compiled one on top of the other until they become mountains and mountains of sins. And the person, that's it, he gives up and he's lost all hope. And he knows that now his next path is towards the hellfire. And all of a sudden, those sins that are on the scale of the sins are converted into hasanat, and they are put in the level, in the scale of the hasanat, and they begin to compile until it becomes mountains and mountains of hasanat he's never done. Why? Because of his tawbah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتٍ. That the one who had an accepted tawbah, and Allah accepted his tawbah in this worldly life, Allah would exchange his million sayyat into a million hasanat he never did, all because of a tawbah. All of a sudden he finds himself just about to be thrown in Jahannam, and he is saved and he enters the paradise because of his tawbah. For we need to understand, my brothers, the meaning. You understood what the meaning of tawbah is. This is exactly what it is. And that's why tonight I want to share with you the best story that was ever narrated about a tawbah, about repentance. And we want to share this story so that we repeat its scenario in our lives and we implement its valuable lessons and wisdom and guidance in our life. We're going to speak about the repentance of a companion from among the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the tawbah and the repentance of Ka'b ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu. That's right. The tawbah of a companion, Ka'b ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu. There's something strange here that we need to ask. Does a sahabi radiyallahu anhum ajma'een, does he fall into a sin, into a major sin that it requires a tawbah? Does that even happen? Mahuwa, this story is teaching us that happens. And the thing that it is correcting from the very beginning, we're learning a lesson that with some of the people, they have an incorrect image and an incorrect understanding of what righteousness means. Some people, walil asaf, unfortunately, they think that righteous and obedient people are people that, 24/7 they are committed. They don't fall into any sin, not even minor, not even major. Doesn't miss any salat, doesn't miss any fasting. Monday and Thursday, or salat was sunnah, mashallah. Everything is right in his life. Wrong image. This is why when you have such an image and you commit yourself into deen, and then you find yourself one or two days became lazy, you give up altogether because you had an incorrect image. This is wrong. We need to understand, my brothers and sisters in Islam, that righteousness is not like that. And the difference between a righteous person and a sinner and a rebellious, corrupt person is not that one sins and one doesn't sin. The difference is that both of them sin, but it is how they deal with the sin after it. So the righteous would sin, but he gets up after it and he makes a tawbah and he moves forward and he doesn't allow that event in his life to pull him and drag him down. But the sinner has no such thing in his life. He sins after a sin after a sin, and he neglects the concept of tawbah, and tawbah is not part of his life. And that is exactly the difference between a corrupt person and a righteous person. Uka'ab ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, his story is teaching us the correct image of what righteousness means. You might fall into a sin. You might even fall into a major sin. Like Ka'b radiallahu anhu, if he fell into a major sin, what makes you and I safe that we won't fall into a sin? And this is after what? This is after 20 years of his Islam. He falls into a major sin. We'll speak about what this sin was and how he revives and how he gets up after this sin and continues forward in his relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My brothers and sisters in Islam, the story of Ka'b ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, he narrates it, and he narrates it, he himself narrates the story. However, most importantly, it's a story that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also narrates in the Qur'an. And there is an entire surah in the Qur'an known as Surah At-Tawbah. Surah At-Tawbah earned its name because of his story. Surah At-Tawbah is a long surah, 20 pages. And there's only 3 ayat in this surah that is a reference to Ka'b radiallahu anhu. Only 3 ayat. But these 3 ayat were powerful enough that the entire surah was called Surah At-Tawbah because of them. For we need to understand, a whole surah was named after his story radiallahu anhu. And since it's part of the Quran, this is an honored surah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself chose to narrate it. right? Yanita, how happy do you get if someone narrated your story? Let's say someone was misguided, and then he became guided and committed on Islam. And a sheikh was interested with his story, right? And then he went onto the minbar and he shared his story in front of millions and millions of people. How excited and how happy would that person be? Now imagine, وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who narrates your story, and he narrates it not only to a generation that lived at that time, the companions and so on, but this is until the last day we're going to read this story, until the day of judgment. But not only that, even in the paradise, this story would be narrated and would be recited. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that on the day of judgment, يُقَالُ لِصَاحِبِ الْقُرْآنِ اقْرَأْ وَارْتَقِ وَرَتِّلْ كَمَا كُنْتَ تُرَتِّلُ فِي الدُّنْيَا. Yani, in other words, the Quran is recited on the day of judgment. And when you recite, every ayah you read, it is a level in the paradise. So in other words, these ayat would be recited in the paradise. Look how special and how honorable this surah and this story is, that it made it part of the Quran, and it remains a legacy on this earth until the day of judgment. And even in the paradise, we're going to read this story. Ka'ab radiallahu anhu himself will read it, and will be full of joy and excitement as to how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted his tawbah in a time where it was so difficult for him. We'll understand bi'ithnillahi ta'ala when we get to these ayat and share their meanings. My brothers and sisters in Islam, the story of Ka'ab ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, it's a story of hope. It's a story of hope for anyone who has committed any sin. And the story highlights the fact that there is absolutely no sin on the face of the earth except that there is an escape route from it. And that is via a tawbah. Any sin, there is a route that you can escape, and that is through the road and through the path of a tawbah. This is what the story teaches. And the story of Ka'ab ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, it's going to teach us how one falls into a sin. How does one end up falling into a sin? And how do you move on after a sin? How do you get up and move on? And how does Allah Azza wa Jal accept the tawbah? And what are the signs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has accepted your tawbah? All of this is in the story of Ka'ab ibn Malik radiallahu anhu. My brothers and sisters in Islam, firstly, let's get to know who Ka'ab radiallahu anhu was. Ka'ab, my brothers and sisters in Islam, he was a sahabi that joined Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during the battle of Uhud. And he was wounded and injured 17 times in the battle. For he was a warrior radiallahu anhu. And he attended al-Bay' al-Aqaba al-Thaniyah. This is the pledge of allegiance to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, still in Mecca. Yani, in other words, he's counted from those that came into Islam early. This is Ka'ab radiallahu anhu. And an entire tribe, Qabila Dawus, that was his tribe, all of them accepted Islam because of two lines of poetry he recited to them. Powerful. He was an eloquent speaker. He was a poet. He was a warrior. He was counted from among those who entered Islam first. So we're not speaking about any sahabi. We're speaking about the best of the best. And even then he falls into a major sin. To teach you and I, never feel safe. Never feel safe from falling into a sin. And we'll learn exactly what he fell into and how he saved from and how he saved himself from it. My brothers and sisters in Islam, the sin that Ka'ab ibn Malik radiallahu anhu fell into was that he did not join Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the battle of Tabuk, which was the last battle that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fought. He did not join. He sat back in Medina, and it was an obligation for all the people of Medina to leave except those who had excuse. And he was among those who remained in Medina. And so his sin was that he left an obligation. Understand that sins are of two types. There is a sin in where you commit the sins, like مثلاً, you commit that which is impermissible. You drink alcohol, you fall into zina, وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ, you deal with interest and so on. That's one type of sin. The other type of sin is that you leave out an obligation. مثلاً, Ramadan, you decide not to fast. Salat al-Fajr, you decide not to pray it. These sins that you leave off and you abandon the obligations is much worse than committing the major sins and the minor sins. It's much worse to leave an obligation. So here we're speaking about the top grade of the sins. We're speaking about Ka'ab ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, not only committing a major sin, but also leaving and out an obligation, and that is to join Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the battle of Tabuk. My brothers and sisters in Islam, We begin this story first by speaking something about the Battle of Tabuk, so that you can understand why didn't Ka'b radiallahu anhu participate and join in this war. The story of the Battle of Tabuk is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, these are during the final years in Medina, he sent out a companion with a letter to invite the king of the Romans to Islam. So this companion takes the letter and he goes to Rome and he's searching for the king to give him this letter, invite him to Islam. So the Roman king, he sent out a gang towards this companion. The gang grabbed him, they killed him, and that's it. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was informed that your Rasul, your companion, your messenger that went to deliver the message was killed by the king, by the Romans. For Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not accept this. And so he prepared for the Battle of Tabuk. This is the reason for the Battle of Tabuk, to avenge the blood of one innocent man that was killed. And so Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he comes out to the people of Medina and he announces in the city, prepare for a battle, prepare for the Battle of Tabuk against the Romans. The people are shocked. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, what Romans? This is a massive army. We're speaking about a world power at the time. And what are we in Medina? What do we have? Who's going to go to Tabuk? Who's going to face the Romans? Ya Rasulullah. And where are we going? Where are we going to fight the Romans? Where are we going? We're going to Tabuk. Tabuk. This is 1,500 kilometers going and coming back. No one ever took this path except that he died on the road. No one ever made it. This is an extreme war that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is calling them to. And add to that, it's summer. And add on top of it, it's not easy. The entire path is a desert. And the companions have never traveled as a group towards that way. Tabuk is from Medina, it's towards Jordan, towards Palestine, towards this part. And they've never been towards that side. They only used to the opposite, which is going towards Mecca. For this is what is on hand now. And subhanAllah, the desert, so we're speaking about sandstorms, about dust storms, the scalding sun that's going to be from above. No one has taken the path in summer except that he has perished. And understand as well that summertime is the best time for the people of Medina, because this is when the dates on the trees ripen. And they are soft and they're delicious. Dunya tempts the people at that time. Take a look at the tree and you say, well, where am I going to go? Look at the dates. Look how we've been waiting the entire year for this time. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam all of a sudden is announcing a battle, and in this time especially, Ya Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it's as though they're saying, these palm trees and the dates, this is our livelihood for the year. We pick the dates and we sell them and we make money so that we pay our debts off. And we make this money, and we marry our children with this money, we build our house with this money. If no one remains in Medina, what's going to happen? The dates would ripen, and eventually they will rot, and they will fall from the tree, and that's all gone to waste. This is our yearly income. Who's going to take care of it? And we're going to go to Tabuk, we're going to miss out. For this, essentially, you can understand the difficulty of this war. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he kind of hints out, Ya Allah, there's no excuses. Get ready, and we're going to leave soon. And of course, at the time, there was no army prepared. There's nothing. For Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he encouraged the companions. Who's going to donate? Uthman radiallahu anhu would come with half his wealth. And he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam with half his wealth. And he threw them in the lap of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam began to put his hand in the wealth like this, and he'd saying, مَا ضَرَّ عُثْمَانُ مَا فَعَلَ بَعْدَ الْيَوْمِ. خلاص, there is no harm on Uthman, what he does after today. Let me look at this huge sacrifice in a time where a da'wah and Islam was in most need of the support of the believers. Look what he's coming with. And people, they're coming, they want to give whatever they have. Well, subhanallah, even Allah Azza wa Jal mentions and records this in the Quran. And then people came, قُلْتَ لَا أَجِدُ مَا أَحْمِلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ تَوَلَّوا وَأَعْيُنُهُمْ تَفِيضُ مِنَ الدَّمْعِ حَزَنًا أَلَّا يَجِدُوا مَا يُنْفِقُونَ. People came, Sahaba came, they said, Ya Rasulullah, wallahi, I have nothing. And we want to give something. And they began to cry before Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. When there was a group of hypocrites that when they saw some Sahaba give a lot, they said, look at this. He did not do it sincerely for Allah's sake. And then there are companions that gave something little, like Abu Khaythamah radiallahu anhu. He had 2 kilograms. يعني هكا صاع 2 kilograms of date. He said, Ya Rasulullah, that's all I have. I'll give you the dates and you can feed the army on the way. The army is 30,000 companions. But you can see everyone wants to give something. And the companions, when they saw those that gave a little, يَلْمِزُكَ فِي الصَّدَقَاتِ, they were saying, look at these people. Allah Azza wa Jal doesn't need his donation. What is he giving? Look how pathetic this giving is. There were companions, there were hypocrites in Al-Madinah that played this role. We're going to speak about them in the story and what was their case and what was different between them and Ka'b radiallahu anhu. So, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam announces the battle. 30,000 companions, they gather and they prepare. And a few camels come out as well. Yani, the narrations mention that there was 18 camels per one man. What does that mean? It means you're going to walk for 17 hours and you'll ride for 1 hour. Because one camel, it's going to alternate between 18 men. So walking 17 hours and you'll only get to ride for 1 hour. And that is the case for everyone. And there's not enough food. And there is not enough water. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he narrates that we used to eat the date. And then we used to take out the pit of the date. And we used to share it among the Sahaba. يعني انت يلا هي have turns in sucking the date. Then يلا انت next have turns in sucking it. And they would walk and they would go. And this was their way. Until a point where it became so severe. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he says, we couldn't handle it anymore. You saw in the desert 30,000 men walking and no one is talking. Because the more you talk, the more you make yourself thirsty. We were about to die from thirst. We can feel in our throats that they are starting to crack and starting to bleed. To the point, that's it. We cannot no longer handle it anymore. So they began to slaughter some of the camels and take out the intestines of the camel and begin to squeeze whatever liquid or fluid that comes out of it, and they would drink that and they would go in turns. Yani, they're losing camels, no food, no water. Then they went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they said, Ya Rasulullah, make dua that Allah sends down some rain, some water, so that we can refresh and re-nourish once again. For Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, we'll make dua, but during the night, everyone stay in your tent and don't leave the tent. Don't come out of the tent. There's going to be a strong wind that comes. It'll destroy anyone in its path. And so they went when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made a dua. And there was one companion that left the tent. He died radiallahu anhu. Yani, he was walking out, maybe going to some other tent, and he died in its path. Eventually, the next morning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down rain upon the believers, and they drink from it, and they're refreshed once again, and they continue their path to Tabuk. يعني, you can understand the battle of Tabuk wasn't something easy. This is why in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Wallah azza wa jal in the Quran, he considered it al-usra. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam referred to that army as jayshul usra, the army of hardship, the army of difficulty, because of how much difficulty they went. When the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, الَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُ فِي سَاعَةِ الْعُسْرَةِ. Subhanallah, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes something difficult so easy. He says, and the companions that followed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the 1 hour of hardship, سَاعَةِ الْعُسْرَةِ. Ya Rasulullah, going to Tabuk and coming back almost took them 80 days. And this was the condition. Wallah Azza wa Jal says, Sa'at al-Usra, 1 hour. Who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us that the hardship eventually goes. It vanishes. Yani, all right, 80 days. Right now, did they feel the 80 days? It felt like 1 hour. But the reward that remains is permanent. It's huge. And when they see it on the day of judgment, they would realize that difficulty was only 1 hour. Subhanallah, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changes our thought of the hardship and he makes it sound so easy. Fi sa'atil usra. Now, my brothers and sisters in Islam, we begin with the story of Ka'b, and this is him sitting among his children, sitting among at-tabi'een, because this is way after. This is now he's old, he's blind, and he's mentioning this story. Ka'b radiallahu anhu. He lived a long age, and now he's narrating this story. It begins, subhanallah, it's just the beginning. And a sanad, the chain, is something beautiful. But a sanad, you can learn something from the chain itself. Listen to this chain. عن عبد الرحمن بن عبد الله بن كعب أن عبد الله بن كعب قال سمعت كعب بن مالك يقول. You know what's happening in this chain? He's saying, on the authority of عبد الرحمن ابن عبد الله ابن كعب, that عبد الله ابن كعب said, I heard كعب ابن مالك. Who's narrating this story? The grandson of Ka'b ibn Malik. The grandson of Ka'b is saying that my father told me that his father Ka'b and said. Now what do you learn from this chain? The first thing you learn is the honesty of Ka'b ibn Malik radiallahu anhu. He's talking a story about a major sin that he committed. And who's he talking it to? He's talking truth and honesty to his children and to those that are around him. Now we learn something. Nowadays, yani today, how many of us as parents would cover your past from your children and you will lie to your children just so that you do not expose your past? My brothers and sisters in Islam, if your past has a bad element in it, but has goodness at the end of it, share it with your children. Let them know how life is and that it's all right. Someone might fall, someone might do a sin, but then he can move forward in his relationship with Allah. How many times you find parents, yani their children, if they're at school, let's say, and they're not getting good marks, they say, "Anta, yani your father used to come first in school. Your mother used to come first. And mashallah, who used to come last then?" If everyone came first, who came last? But we need to learn honesty. Be honest. Be honest in how you are. The story from the very beginning, it's about the honesty of Ka'b ibn Malik radiallahu anhu. This is why a very appropriate title for this story, I called Honesty the Flag of a Believer. Then you're going to find that the entire story and what saves Ka'b radiallahu anhu at the end is his honesty. For the very beginning, it's about honesty of Ka'b to his children, to his grandchildren, and the story is just moving on generation after generation with all of its honesty. This is about a sin. So it's all right to admit a sin to your children if there's a good lesson behind it for them to learn in life. He says, قَالَ سَمِعْتُ كَعْبَ بْنَ مَالِكَ يَقُولُ. Now Ka'b radiallahu anhu is narrating. And he says, look how he begins. He says, لَمَا تَخَلَّفْ عَنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فِي غَزْوَةٍ غَزَاهَا قَطْ إِلَّا فِي تَبُوكَ غير أني قد تخلفت في غزوة بدر ولم يعاتب أحد تخلف عنه. He began by saying, I never ever abandoned the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam in a battle that he fought, except in the battle of Tabuk. And I failed also to participate and take part in the battle of Badr. But the battle of Badr, it's all right. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not admonish those who did not join in the battle of Badr. The whole story of Ka'b is about him not joining in the battle of Tabuk. And he begins by saying, لَمَا تَخَلَّفْ. I never for once abandoned and did not join and participate in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam in a battle that he fought. In other words, radiallahu anhu, he's telling us, don't think I'm a bad person. I'm good. I participated in all the wars except Tabuk. And add to it Badr at the beginning. And it's all right if you did not attend Badr, the first battle of Islam. Why? Because no one was reprimanded for it and no one was criticized for that. Then he says, and he explains the battle of Badr a little bit. He says, إِنَّمَا خَرَجَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَالْمُسْلِمُونَ يُرِيدُونَ عِيرَ قُرَيْشِ. He said, and let me tell you something about the battle of Badr. That it was Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم had first arrived to Medina and they wanted to intercept a caravan for Quraysh. You know, obviously, because Quraysh, they basically exiled the believers from Mecca, right? Which was the Hijrah when they left. And when the believers left Mecca to Medina, you know what they left behind? They left behind their assets and their property and their wealth and a lot of things that belong to them. So when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he knew that Quraysh had reached Asham and now they're coming back from Asham to Mecca, he said, we're going to intercept the caravans and take them. Why? Not as oppression, but because what's on the caravan is ours. You kicked us out of Mecca, we're just going to take our property. For Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam leaves al-Madinah and with him about 312 sahaba. He leaves until he reaches the battle of Badr. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he did not want a war. He just wanted to take the caravans and go back. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted a war, لِيَقْضِيَ اللَّهُ أَمْرًا كَانَ مَفْعُولًا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's decision was going to go ahead. وَتَوَدُّونَ أَنَّ غَيْرَ ذَاتِ الشَّوْكَةِ تَكُونُ لَكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the believers. He said, you wished and you desired that the easier option would be the option you take, which is just take the caravans and go back to Medina without engaging in war. But Allah azza wa jal wanted the war to happen. And so Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he tells the sahaba in Medina, Just anything you have, just come out. And they came out and they said, Ya Rasulullah, we're not prepared for battle. If you at least told us we're going to fight, I would have got my better sword. I would have got a couple of arrows with me. He says, doesn't matter, just the way we are, go. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then sends down the aid from the sky of the angels, and they came and fought with them, and that battle was over, and they went back to Al-Madina. But not everyone joined and participated in the Battle of Badr. Why? Because when the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left Al-Madina, he did not announce a war. They were just going to intercept a caravan. So since they were there, it was only obligatory on the ones that are there. And those that did not join, they weren't reprimanded and they weren't criticized and they did not fall into a sin. And that's what Ka'b radiallahu anhu says, وَلَمْ يُعَاتَبْ أَحَدٌ تَخَلَّفَ عَنْهُ. No one was held accountable if they did not witness it. Then he said radiallahu anhu, so since he told us that I did not join Tabuk and I missed out on Badr, he wants to tell us about something he did that he considers better than Badr. So he says, وَلَقَدْ شَهِدْتُ مَعَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ لَيْلَةَ الْعَقَبَةِ حِينَ تَوَافَقْنَا عَلَى الْإِسْلَامِ وَمَا أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ وَمَا أَحَبُّ أَنَّ لِي بِهَا مَشْهَدَ بَدْرٍ وَإِنْ كَانَتْ بَدْرٌ أَذْكَرُ فِي النَّاسِ مِنْهَا. He said, doesn't matter, I didn't join in Badr, but it's all right, I had something else that was better than that. And that is that I was there present and I witnessed the Pledge of Allegiance, the second one that happened in Al-Madinah. What is Bay'atul Aqaba in brief? Bay'atul Aqaba, those who joined, meaning these are the first people that accepted Islam. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was in Mecca, he used to go out for Hajj. Well, Quraysh also used to do Hajj. The Hajj was every year. Mina, Muzdalifa, Arafat, these places were known for Quraysh. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what did he used to do? With Quraysh, there used to come people from Al-Madina. They used to join, people from Medina would come to Mecca, they would join Quraysh and they would do Hajj with them. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as the Hajj is being performed, he'd go from tent to tent at night and he would give da'wah to the people. And those who accepted him more than anyone else were those people that came from Al-Madina. This is how Islam spread in Medina. So they used to come. The first Bay'atul Aqaba, only 12 men and one woman was there. They shook hands with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, except the woman, of course, and they pledged their allegiance to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Khalas, we're going to give you the pledge of allegiance, as-sam'u wa ta'a, and we're going to obey you, and you're Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. And when they were going, this is the first Bay'atul Aqaba. When they're going back to Al-Madina, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sends with them Mus'ab ibn Umayr radiallahu anhu, and he was the first ambassador to Islam. He sent him so he can teach the new, fresh new people, the reverts, these people that have just accepted Islam. He sent Mus'ab radiallahu anhu with them so that he goes to Al-Madina and he teaches them Islam bit by bit there. The year after that was Bay'atul Aqaba number 2. And that one, there was 73 men and 2 women that joined. And from these was Ka'b ibn Malik radiallahu anhu. And so Ka'b radiallahu anhu, he says, I had the honor to witness the second bay'ah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I pledged allegiance to Islam. And I would not exchange it for the Battle of Badr. Even though he said the Battle of Badr was more popular among the people. So he's satisfied and he's happy that he had the honor to be from among those who gave pledge to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the allegiance of the second one in Mecca. And he says, kind of, this sort of balances it out for me. If I didn't go to Badr, at least I did this. وَكَانَ فِي خَبَرِ حِينَ تَخَلَّفْتُ. Now he tells us the story and his relationship with the Battle of Tabuk and what happened. He says, وَكَانَ مِنْ خَبَرِ حِينَ تَخَلَّفْتُ عَنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فِي غَزْوَةِ تَبُوكِ أَنِّي لَمْ أَكُنْ قَطُّ أَقْوَى وَلَا أَيْسَرَ مِنِّي حِينَ تَخَلَّفْتُ عَنْهُ فِي تِلْكَ الْغَزْوَةِ. Yes, halal. Listen to the honesty. He says, as for my news, يعني in regards to the Battle of Tabuk, I had never been stronger and wealthier than I was when I remained behind the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the Battle of Tabuk. He said, by Allah, wallahi, ما جمعت قبلها راحلتين قط حتى جمعتها في تلك الغزوة. He said, wallahi, by Allah, I had never in my life owned 2 camels before until the time of the Battle of Tabuk. Yani he's telling us, I had no excuse. That was this time was the time in where I was the most wealthiest And I had two camels and I never had that before. And it was very easy for me to join the battle. Ka'ab radiallahu anhu is being honest. He's saying, I didn't have an excuse to stay behind. We need to understand something. Honesty. The honesty of the companions radiallahu anhu was something incredible. Once you have a sahabi Hanzalah radiallahu anhu, he walks in the streets and he says, nafaqa Hanzalah. Well, who would do that now? He walks in the streets and he says, Hanzalah is a munafiq. Right? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu says, what's wrong with you? He says, khalas. What do you mean? Every time we sit with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our iman is high. And when we leave him and we go to our family and mix with them, our iman goes down. Ana munafiq. Who will do that today? This is the honesty of the companions radiallahu anhu. Fa Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu says, relax. Let's go to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and tell him. For Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they go to him and they narrate the story to him. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says to him, Ya Hanzala. He says to him, لَصَافَحَتْكُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ فِي الطُّرُقَاتِ. He said to him that if your iman was always high, the angels would have come and began to give you salam on the roads. But it's not going to happen. Your iman will go down, it'll go up. Deal with it. You learn how to deal with it. But truth, the honesty. A man, a companion, come to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and he says to him, imagine this. Ya Rasulullah, اِذَلِّي بِالزِّنَا. Give me permission that I do zina. This is honesty. You need to understand. What is this question? This question is a reflection of the honesty of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. For we need to understand, my brothers and sisters in Islam, that when one is honest, when one is able to admit and acknowledge his condition, and what he feels on the inside and on the outside, whatever pressures are around him, when he can be honest, then that means he's concerned about his image before Allah, more than he is concerned about his image before the people. And I don't care about what people think. Ya Rasulullah, help me. I want to do this. Help me out. This is my condition. I'm honest. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gives him a remedy, and the Sahabi radiallahu anhu walks out, and he says, I walked into Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and the most beloved thing to me was zina. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said to him, are you pleased with this action for your mother, for your sister, for your auntie? He said, no. He said, and I walked out, and the most disliked thing to me is a zina. In other words, their sincerity and their honesty in speaking and acknowledging and admitting their situation and condition. And then eventually, subhanAllah, they have this clear image before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to be honest. Ka'b ibn Malik radiallahu anhu is being very honest. I was wealthy during the time of Tabuk. And add to it, I had two camels and I never had that before. I got no excuse at all. And then he says, فَغَزَاهَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. Oh, listen to this. He said, فِي حَرٍ شَدِيدٍ وَاسْتَقْبَلَ سَفَرًا بَعِيدًا وَمَفَاوِزْ وَاسْتَقْبَلَ عَدُوًا كَثِيرًا. What's he doing? Ka'ab ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, now he's explaining what happened. He said, I was good and I was wealthy at the time. And he says, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he went out for this war, and he fought in severe, intense heat. And it was a long journey. And it was mafawiz. Mafawiz in Arabic, it means deadly deserts. Deserts that if you walk in, you hope and tafuz. You hope that you succeed and you come out alive from the other end. Wa'aduwan kabira. And he faced a huge army. Ka'ab radiallahu anhu, when he says this, he's making the war sound difficult. He's making the war sound difficult. Well, the solution is, this is what people do nowadays, just like this. Ka'ab is telling us this so you don't fall into the same problem. He's saying, because I saw it difficult, this is why I did not join. Because I viewed it difficult. Let believers shouldn't be doing that. Tawakkal ala Allah. Get up and go, and Allah Azza wa Jal would help you and He would aid you. Just like He aided the 30,000 Sahaba that went and came back and only one died. For why did he make it sound very difficult for himself? How many of us do this even before they begin the worship? Sit down, you're like, oh, Salat al-Fajr. I need to get up, make wudu, cold water, jump in the car, come to Salat. Maybe the Imam is going to take too long. Oh, yeah, forget it. Well, I'll just sleep and I'll wake up by that and I'll pray. Say, Ka'ab radiallahu anhu is telling us, when you start thinking of the worship difficult, it becomes difficult, and it's a result and a reason for why you're not going to engage in that worship. Close your eyes. Don't think about the difficulty. Think about that Allah Azza wa Jalla is the one who obligated it upon you. And no matter how difficult a situation is, isn't he worth it, subhanahu wa ta'ala? وَجَاهِدُوا فِي اللَّهِ حَقَّ جِهَادِهِ. And strive and struggle in the cause of Allah the way he deserves to. يعني pray the way Allah deserves it from you. And do the good the way Allah deserves it from you. فَكَعَبْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ جَزَاهُ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا وَرَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. He's being honest with us so that we don't fall in the same problems. So he said, and it wasn't, he says, and it wasn't from the customary practice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he exposes his intention before going to war. Yani, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to go out to war, warra bighayriha, that was a tactic. He used to say to the companions, we're going east, but really he's going west. Why did he used to do that? Because of the munafiqun that are in Medina, so that they don't leak any information out and get it to the enemy before he gets there. So he used to tell them, we're going east, prepare yourself. And when they're prepared, 4 or 5 days later, as they're all gathered and they're ready to go, he tells them, we're going the other way. And they quickly leave. إِلَّا تَبُوكُ, except the battle of Tabuk. فَقَدْ جَلَّ أَمْرَهَا لِلْمُسْلِمِينَ. He made it very apparent. He told them, look, we're going to Tabuk. And he announced it before a few days. Why? Because of the difficulty that's involved in this war. There's no, yani here, we can't play these tricks anymore now. And we don't need to, yani, kind of hide things from munafiqun. And khalas, we're going this way and we're going that way. The trip is long. The trip is difficult. I'm telling you from now, and I'm being honest with you, go and get ready and get really ready because we're leaving in a few days. فَأَخْبَرَهُمْ بِوَجِهِمَ الَّذِي يُرِيدُ وَالْمُسْلِمُونَ مَعَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ كَثِيرٌ. Shuf, this is again, Ka'ab radiallahu anhu. He says, he informed them clearly of his destination, and then Ka'ab radiallahu anhu, he says, and there were a large number of Muslims with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Disaster. You shouldn't be thinking like that. لأنه when you think, he's telling us about his problem. One of his problems that made him fall into the sin is that he convinced himself, 30,000 Muslims, I'm not needed. What am I going to do there? Khalas, there's enough. I can stay back. And this, يعني, subhanAllah, is a disaster to think in this manner. When you think in this manner, you become lazy. You say, there's a lot of Muslims. They don't need me. Masalah, now, when we call for people and encourage the people to help their brothers and sisters overseas, don't ever sit down and say, oh, alhamdulillah, there's a lot of charity organizations that do this work. What difference am I going to do? Don't think like that. Well, then you have, يعني, مثلاً, people that are working in a da'wah, people seeking knowledge. Yalla, alhamdulillah, mashayikh, and all this is so many, and people are giving da'wah, alhamdulillah. Well, now, what am I going to add to this equation? Don't think like this. This is wrong. This is what destroyed Ka'ab and made him fall into the sin. Radiallahu anhu. Understand, my brothers and sisters in Islam, that when you join and participate in a worship in Islam, مثلاً when you participate and join in helping the believers, when you join and participate in a da'wah fi Allah, even though there's a lot of people, understand that you're doing it not because the deen needs you, but because you need the deen. You're the one that needs it. فَكَعَبْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ, that missed him at that moment. And this is the lesson that he's teaching us, that next time, don't think about numbers. Think about that I'm in need of the deen and not the deen is in need of me. Once you think like that, numbers become irrelevant. As many as there are people in Islam that are helping others, you still say, I need to rise for the occasion. I need to help as well. And if there's a lot of people engaged in a da'wah, doesn't matter. Alhamdulillah, you add yourself to the list as well. Engage in something beneficial and don't be deceived by the numbers. Ka'ab radiallahu anhu, he says, وَلَا يَجْمَعُهُمْ كِتَابُ حَافِظٍ. He says there were a large number of Muslims that accompanied Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and there was not a list that accommodated or joined that wrote their names. In other words, there was no roll call. Back then, for certain wars, there was like a roll call. The roll would come out. Where's this Sahabi? Where's this Sahabi? Is he with us? But because this one is 30,000, who's going to go through a roll call? So he says, لَا يَجْمَعُهُمْ كِتَابُ حَافِظٍ يُرِيدُ بِذَلِكَ الدِّيوَانِ. There was no registry. And there was no roll call. In other words, what does that mean? It makes it even easier to stay back. Then no one's going to hold you accountable. No one even knows. No one even realizes whether you came out or you didn't. And that's another problem he's telling us. Don't wait for people to check up on you. When you wait for people to check up on you, that's when you begin to lose and you fail. You sit down and you say, Wallah, I did not attend the masjid for one day, and people did not ask about me. Khalas, I don't think I'm going to go there anymore. What do you want from the people? Yani, there has to be a roll call so you can always attend and always be here. This is your relationship with Allah Azza wa Jal. Don't be concerned with your image with the people and how the people treat you. Maybe some people don't have respect. It doesn't matter. If people don't respect you and don't look after you and don't call you and check up on you, it doesn't give you the excuse to leave. Because if you took it as an excuse, you're going to fall exactly into what Ka'ab radiallahu anhu felt. Your relationship with Allah is with Allah and it's not with the people. قال كعب رضي الله عنه. He said, any man who intended to be absent and did not want to join the battle of Tabuk, he would think that the matter would remain hidden unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would reveal it in the Quran. And they would think, who am I that Allah would reveal Quran in me and expose me? So it was kind of an excuse for the munafiqun to kick back in Medina and not to join Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the battle of Tabuk. وَغَزَى رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ تِلْكَ الْغَزْوَةِ حِينَ طَابَتِ الثِّمَارُ وَالظِّلَالِ فَأَنَا إِلَيْهَا أَصْهَرُ. Oof, this word is very dangerous. Ka'ab radiallahu anhu, he says, and Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he fought the battle at a time when the fruit was ripened. يعني فتنة الدنيا. It came before him. The fitna and the temptations of this dunya stopped him from obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and engaging in an obligation and a commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said the fruit had ripened and the shade looked pleasant. Yani you sit down under the tree, or you're eating dates and you're drinking water, ya salam. Whether the people are going to Tabuk are not going to see something like this. And he says, فَأَنَا إِلَيْهَا أَصْهَرْ. يعني, what does that mean? Meaning, and I had a weakness for it. I looked at it. You see, when you look too much towards the fitna, it'll stop you from doing the obligations. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He commanded the believers and their relationship with this worldly life, He said, وَلَا تَعْدُ عَيْنَاكَ عَنْهُمْ تُرِيدُ زِينَةَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Don't you dare turn your eyes away from righteousness and from the believers and from the worship. Don't you dare turn it away in pursuit of this worldly life. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He forbid us from just looking at the dunya, let alone following it after it. Just by looking at it, you're not allowed. Look what happened to Ka'b radiallahu anhu. He just looked at the tree. Asharu ilayha. He looked at it. It looked nice. And it made him weak, weak, weak in front of the dunya, in front of the temptations. And there's Tabuk. Yani, and nafs would begin to play and it would begin to become doubtful. And this, he's telling us, this was a reason for why I sat back in Medina and I did not join Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He continues and he says, still, Sahaba being prepared. No one has left yet. فَتَجَهَّزَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَالْمُسْلِمُونَ مَعَهُ وَطَفِقْتُ أَغْدُ لِكَيْ أَتَجَهَّزَ مَعَهُمْ. He says, and now it's time. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the companions, they prepared for the battle. And he said, I started to go out in order to get myself ready along with them. So he'd come out and he'd look around. Allah, companions are packing their bags, they're coming in. Inshallah ta'ala, he'd go back home and he says, وَلَا مَفْعَلْ شَيْءٍ, and I didn't do anything. And I would say to myself, and he would say, أَنَا قَادِرٌ عَلَى ذَلِكَ إِنْ أَرَدْ. He'd say to himself, oh, I'm capable of coming out, very easy. Hello, it's just half an hour, I pack the bags, put the food on the camel and I jump on the camel and I go straight after them and follow them. Well, Sahaba radiallahu anhu, most of them don't have camels, so they're going to be walking and they're slow. I'm quicker. Yani even though if I left 2 days after them, I'll still get there in a couple of hours. Doesn't matter. Well, he's convincing himself and he's saying that. أَنَا قَادِرٌ عَلَى ذَلِكَ إِنْ أَرَدْ. I can do it if I want. What do we learn from this? Yani, subhanallah, we learn something incredible. أَنَا قَادِرٌ عَلَى ذَلِكَ. How many people fall into this? أَنَا قَادِرٌ عَلَى ذَلِكَ. You know, the vast majority fall into this. What does it mean? Yani, you see, and we say, يا أخي, you say to yourself, بِإِذْنِ, I can memorize the Quran. بِإِذْنِ, I can start praying Salat al-Sunnah before and after the prayers. I can start fasting Mondays and Thursdays. I can do it. Radiallahu anhu, this is what destroyed him. This is what made him fall into the sin. When he just kept saying, I can do it, I can do it. The next day would come and he does nothing. He goes back home. And he was, he's sincere, he's honest. Radiallahu anhu, he's honest. He's not among the munafiqun. But he just keeps delaying it. Tomorrow, ghadan, tomorrow never came for him. Every day he'd delay it. And eventually he fell. What we understand from this is that the believer, when you make a decision, act upon it as soon as you can. Otherwise, as shaytan would begin to drag you and delay you bit by bit. Al-munafiqun, when they end up in Jahannam, they look at the believers and they say, hey, why are we in Jahannam? Save us. They'd say to them, save us. So the munafiqun, they would say to the believers, alam nakum ma'akum? Didn't we used to be with you? Didn't we used to pray in the same masjid and worship the same God and obey the same prophet? Alam nakum ma'akum? So the believers would say to them, bala, of course you are with us. Walakinnakum, show the difference between the Muslim and munafiq. Walakinnakum, fatantum anfusakum. You people put yourself in al-fitna. وَتَرَبَّصْتُمْ Here, this is the word. تَرَبَّصْتُمْ يعني you kept delaying. تَرَبَّصْتُمْ means tomorrow. Or tomorrow I'll do this. And I'm able to wear the hijab whenever I want. Tomorrow I'll get ready. I'm able to grow my beard whenever I want. Allah, inshallah, after I get married, I'll khalas, become righteous and I'll become steadfast upon the deen of Allah. What tomorrow? And this is how they ended up in Jahannam. وَتَرَبَّصْتُمْ وَارْتَبْتُمْ وَغَرَّتْكُمُ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا وَغَرَّكُمْ بِاللَّهِ الْغَرُورِ So we need to understand, Ka'ab radiallahu anhu, he's not exposing his sin. He's teaching us, these are the reasons for why I fell. Don't you dare do this after me. This is what he's teaching us. Radiallahu anhu. So he says, I kept delaying every now and then, and the people were ready, and they gathered themselves, and they prepared for the journey. And he says, in the morning following their departure, khalas, the Sahaba and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam now left. They're not in Medina anymore. They're on the way to Tabuk. And he says, the morning following the departure, I went out, and I said, I'll be ready, and I'll go, and I come back three times. He'd go out, and he'd come back, and he hasn't prepared anything. And he says, radiallahu anhu, فَلَمْ يَزَلْ ذَٰلِكَ يَتَمَادَ بِي حَتَّى أَسْرَعُوا وَتَفَارَطَ الْغَزُوا He says, and this was the case, until they all hurried away, they were all gone, and I missed the battle completely. خلاص, I had no more desire, and I didn't look forward to leaving out anymore, and I just stayed. And he said, even though I had intended to depart and catch them up, and he says, وَلَيْتَنِي فَعَلْتْ And I wish I did it. He says, even though my nafs, it told me leave. And he says, "Laytani fa'alt shuf." He's wishing. I wish I left. Huwa al-believer. يعني subhanallah. You need to learn not to fall into this mistake. Today you can say, "I wish," but later on, it's not accepted that you say, "I wish I did this and this." Like the disbelievers would say on the day of judgment, "Ya laytani ittakhadhtu ma'a ar-rasuli sabila." I wish I had followed the messenger on that day. I wish doesn't work. But now you can still make up for this. I wish. For now, radiallahu anhu, Ka'b is going to tell us the consequence of the sin. Now he's fallen into the sin. He didn't leave. He's in Medina. And he begins to speak about the consequence of the sin. Well, this is true. This is what you'll experience after any sin. He says, radiallahu anhu, فَطَفِقْتُ إِذَا خَرَجْتُ فِي النَّاسِ بَعْدَ خُرُوجِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يحزنني ألا أرى لي أسوة إلا رجلا مغموصا عليه في النفاق أو رجلا ممن عذر الله سبحانه وتعالى من الضعف. He says, and I felt depressed, and I felt worried, and I felt sad. I would walk in the streets of Medina, and I'd only see a munafiq, and I'd see someone that lost his arm, or someone that's lost his leg, someone that has an excuse, or an old man that can barely walk. And I said, what am I doing among these people? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is not here. Umar radiallahu anhu is gone. Uthman is gone. As-Sahaba all gone. What am I doing among these people? They're all munafiqun. 80 munafiqun remained back in al-Madinah. And he began to feel the consequence and the pain of the sin. What am I doing among these people? Consequence, you will be depressed, sad, worried after the sin. And that remained his entire time. Yani Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, to get to Tabuk 1 month. He sat there 25 days and to come back is another month. Almost 80 days altogether. And that's what he's going to feel, and it's just going to get worse. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he comes back, it's going to get worse and worse until Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala sends down a relief. فرضي الله عنه he says ولم يذكرني رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم حتى بلغ تبوكا. He said, and the messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم did not ask about me until he reached Tabuk. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, when he reached Tabuk finally, and the Sahaba رضي الله عنهم, they set out the tents, and now they're camping outside in Tabuk. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, he sat among his companions, 30,000 of them, and then he said, ما فعل كعب بن مالك? What did كعب do? Where is كعب? شوف سبحان الله النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Among 30,000 companions, he's asking about one, كعب رضي الله عنه. This is the meaning of حريص عليكم. That النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم is concerned for you. He looks after your affairs. For he's asking, where is كعب رضي الله عنه? Now كعب says, and a man from Bani Salama got up. Who's this man? كعب didn't want to expose him. He did not say his name. He said, a man from the tribe of Salama. Why? Because what this man is about to say is something really hurtful towards Ka'ab. But Ka'ab radiallahu anhu doesn't want to expose his name. So he just said, a man from Bani Salam. What did he say? When the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, where's Ka'ab? This man got up and he says, Ya Rasulallah, habasahu burdah wa nadharu fi itfayh. Ya Rasulallah, the only thing that held him back in al-Madinah was his two garments, silky garment, not silky garments, but really expensive garments that he had. وَالنَّظَرُ فِي عِطْفَيْهِ And looking at his shoulders. What does that mean? You know, when one looks at his shoulder like that, it's a look of pride and arrogance. In other words, this man from Bani Salama, he said, Ya Rasulullah, the only reason why Ka'b is behind is because of his pride and his arrogance. He doesn't want to follow us and he doesn't want to be with us. فَقَامَ مُعَاذُ بْنُ جَبَلْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ And he said, بِئْسَ مَا قُلْتُ Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, ya salam, he gets up defending his brother. And he says to him, بِئْسَ مَا قُلْتُ What a horrible thing that you said. And he said, وَاللَّهِ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ مَا عَلِمْنَا عَنْهُ إِلَّا خَيْرًا O Rasulullah, we don't know of Ka'b except the very best. شوف, subhanallah, here we learn to defend your brother. We need to understand as well, to go easy on people that go through a phase of low iman. Sometimes we're a bit harsh with each other. We find that a brother used to pray with us and then all of a sudden he's away for a week or two. So then when we see him or when we join among each other, we begin to speak about him. And Nushuf, look what happened to him, brother. He lost it. He's lost the track. Allah Yahdi, brother. And we start speaking about him and he's already torn and we're just ripping into him even more. And Allah, it doesn't matter. Just talk about him and let's speak. Sa'd radiallahu anhu is teaching us, don't let the shaytan do this. Then when you begin to speak about your brother, as he's experiencing a low phase in iman, does it mean that you're better than him? Can you guarantee that you are better than him? So why are you speaking about him like this? If you find yourself doing good, you don't tear into someone that is doing bad. You go easy. A shaytan, he comes and he begins to tell you, speak about him in this manner, speak about him in that manner. إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ يَنْزَغُ بَيْنَهُمْ شوف ينزغو, meaning that the shaytan is the one that wants to create this animosity and enmity between the believers. وَيَنْزَغُ is a present tense, continual. He always does that. وَاللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى What advice does he give the believers? The part before this ayah, he says, وَقُلْ لِعِبَادِي يَقُولُ الَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ Speak that which is good about your brother. Speak that which is yaqul, present tense. In other words, continuously speak good about them. Whether they're in a low phase of iman, whether they're in high iman, it doesn't matter. Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu, he teaches us, defend your brother, even in the times when his iman is low. And then Ka'b radiallahu anhu, he said, فَسَكَتَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ Kind of a commotion, it happened before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam remained silent. He did not say anything. Why? The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doesn't know the reality. Really? Where is Ka'b? Is he really, as Mu'adh radiallahu anhu is saying? Or is he really as this man from Bani Salama is saying? Show of the wisdom of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he would never rush in judgment until he knows the two sides of the stories. And then you learn it from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Fasakat. He remained silent. And that's exactly what you're supposed to do when you haven't heard from the other side. Why is there like this in this gathering? And everyone is silent. إِذْ رَأَى رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ رَجُلًا مُبْيَضًّا يَزُولُ بِهِ السَّرَابُ All of a sudden they look towards the horizon and they see a man wearing white and he's waving. The mirage when you see far in the desert because of the extreme heat how whatever you see there, it's like a kind of a wave effect. They saw a man wearing white and he this wavy effect. In other words, he's far away. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he looks at him and he says, Kun Aba Khaythama. May it be Abu Khaythama. Let it be Abu Khaythama. Where, subhanallah, a while goes by, he's very far away, he's walking. فَإِذَا هُوَ أَبُو خَيْثَمَةَ الْأَنصَارِي وَهُوَ الَّذِي تَصَدَّقَ بِصَاعِ تَمْرٍ حِينَ لَمَزَهُ الْمُنَافِقُونَ. All of a sudden, after a few hours, it was Abu Khaythamah radiallahu anhu who arrived, but he arrived late. And he's the one who gave the sadaqah of 2 kilos of date to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, bi-idhnillah, let's understand something here. Why did Ka'ab radiallahu anhu decide to tell us, this is his story, why did he tell us about Abu Khaythamah radiallahu anhu? Because Abu Khaythamah is the exact same situation as Ka'ab ibn Malik radiallahu anhu. The exact same. They both stayed back. They both were tempted by the dates and by the goodness and the fitna that was in Medina at the time. They both were tempted. But Abu Khaythamah radiallahu anhu, he stayed back 10 days. And on the 11th day, literally on the 11th day, he was still busy roaming the streets of Al-Madinah, saying to himself, tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow. Ka'ab radiallahu anhu kept saying tomorrow. On the 11th day, Abu Khaythama radiallahu anhu, he got to his house and something clicked into his mind. And he saw, he was married to two wives. And the houses were right next to each other. This is the riwayah in Sahih al-Bukhari. And this wife is cooking a hot meal. This one is cooking a hot meal. And there is the smell of the food from here. And this one is telling him, come in. And this one is telling him, come and eat. And he sits there and something hits to him. And he says, and he reflects about what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is going through. And he says, Ana huna wa Rasulullahi fil har, wallahi la adkhul. He said, Ana, I'm here. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is under the scorching heat, wallahi, I will not enter. And he stood outside and he said to them, go get me my sword. He said to go inside and get me my sword. Come, drink just a sip of water. Nothing, nothing at all. Bring me my sword and I'm leaving now. For they came, they gave him his sword and he got onto his ride and he flew to Tabuk radiallahu anhu. And the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, yani, he sees him and he knew it was him. Now the question is, how did the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam know it was Abu Khaythama? لأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم knows that there are certain people that when Islam needs them, they're always there. Impossible for them to remain behind. وأبو خيثمة رضي الله عنه was from among them. حتى even this day, until this day we have the same thing. There are sometimes when we have events and we need volunteers. والله, there are brothers that they would be there whether you told them, come and, well, whatever excuse they have, they'll always be there. Like there are people like this. No matter what the situation is, when they're required, they're there. They're always there. Abu Khaythama radiallahu anhu had that kind of relationship with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it knew it was him. And he said, Kun Aba Khaythama. Now the other thing is, how did Abu Khaythama make it all on his own? But didn't we say that this path, anyone that took it on his own would die and he would not survive? How did he make it? We need to understand, my brothers and sisters in Islam, that when you leave for the sake of Allah and you rush to Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would aid you and he'll help you and you'll reach there no matter what the situation is. And this is يعني, Abu Khaythama radiallahu anhu, the only explanation is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him special help and he got to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We learn in the story of Abu Huwa, Ka'ab wants to tell us this. He wants to let us know about Abu Khaythama. Why? Because Ka'ab wants to teach us that doesn't matter if you're late, get up and continue. Doesn't matter. Yani, getting up even if you're late is better than just avoiding it altogether, right? If it's sunrise, for example, sunrise, khalas, the sun rose. Doesn't matter. Get up even if you're late. Salli al-fajr, get up. Doesn't matter. No, Allah, khalas, we'll pray at dhuhr time when we wake up. Why? Why? Do it as soon as possible. Yani, getting up and performing the worship late is better than you leaving it altogether. Masalan, you look at your watch and you're at home. Oh, al-iqama in the masjid is 9 o'clock. It's 9 o'clock now. Khalas, I missed it. Get to the masjid late. It'll be better than staying at home and praying. والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم in that regard teaches us this. يعني for example in a hadith the Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم he says من توضأ فراح إلى المسجد فوجد الناس قد صلوا أوتي مثل أجورهم. Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم he says whoever makes wudu and leaves and goes to the masjid and realizes everyone's finished, the people are gone, there's only a couple of people praying because they're late, weren't they, you came late as well, and you prayed, you're given the exact same reward as though you prayed with them in jama'ah. شوف الحديث. Now why would you, now if you came late, doesn't matter, it's not an excuse. Ka'ab radiallahu anhu wants to tell us about Abu Khaythama to teach us that you get up and you're late is better than you just getting up and falling back to sleep and just forgetting about the whole thing altogether. فيعني سبحان الله رضي الله تعالى عن كعب. So then كعب رضي الله عنه he says فلما بلغني أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قد توجه قافلا من تبوك حضرني بثي فطفقت أتذكر الكذب وأقول بما أخرج من سخطه غدا. Now تبوك is over. There was no war. كفى الله المؤمنين القتال. No war happened. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says in the hadith, نُصِرْتُ بِالرُّعْبِ مَسِيرَةَ شَهْرٍ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from among his special qualities, that Allah azza wa jalla gave him five special things. One of them was, he gave him victory, the fact that he put fear into the heart of the enemy. And that referred to the battle of Tabuk. When the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left, and the Romans knew that he's coming, they shivered and they got scared and they all ran away. No one dared to fight Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spent a few days camped in Tabuk. Nothing happened. War is over. Call it over. Alhamdulillah. And they packed up. And now they're coming back to Al-Madinah. Ka'b radiallahu anhu says, when I was informed. Now the news reaches because there are people that would go ahead before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, when I received the news that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has packed up and he is coming towards Al-Madinah, I began to shake. Allah, he's really worried. And he said, طَفِقْتُ أَتَذَكَّرُ الْكَذِبُ. I began to think of lies. How am I going to make an excuse to Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم to explain myself? وَأَقُولُ بِمَا أَخْرُجُ مِنْ صَخَطِهِ غَدَى. How am I going to avoid his anger tomorrow? What lie am I going to make up? So he says, I began to go to wise members of my family. And I'd ask him, listen, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is coming in a few days. What should I say to him? Ya Allah, give me something. He'd go to the wise family members. Give me an excuse. What should I say to him? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some would say, tell him you were with the orphans, you were taking care of them. Tell him you were with your family, they were sick and you had to bury someone that died. You just make up anything. Oh, so you can, so that he's not angry with you. And this is the second consequence of sin. More depression. You see this? You're now in a state of confusion. You can't even collect your mind on something that is true now. Jazahullah khair, Ka'ab radiallahu anhu. Wa radiallahu anhu. He's telling us everything, even what he's feeling on the inside and the lies that he was about to tell. He's even telling us about that. فَلَمَّا قِيلَ لِي إِنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ قَدْ أَظَلَّ قَادِمًا زَاحَ عَنِّي الْبَاطِلِ حَتَّى عَرَفْتُ أَنِّي لَنْ أَنْجُوَ مِنْهُ بِشَيْءٍ أَبَدًا فَأَجْمَعْتُ صِدْقَهُ. Let me just explain this. Subhanallah. Now this is the third one of the shocks that Ka'ab radiallahu anhu experiences. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is coming. Oh, the image of a sahaba. They're arriving in their thousands. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Umar radiallahu anhu, Uthman, as-sahaba Mu'adh ibn Jabal. They're all coming. You know, their hair is disheveled. They're all dusty. The clothes are ripped. Allahu Akbar, these people are with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ka'ab radiallahu anhu begins to shake. Yani, now I'm supposed to be with them. Look where I am. Look at the situation that I'm in. So he said, as soon as I saw that, I feared and I honored that image. فَأَجْمَعْتُ صِدْقَهُ. This idea of lying and making up excuses, it was removed. I removed it completely from my system. And I said, I'm only going to speak the truth and nothing but the truth, radiallahu anhu. In other words, what are we learning? Ka'ab radiallahu anhu is teaching us, cut off the doubts in your life. Cut off the dishonesty in your life. Now, why do we live lives of doubt? Most of us live lives and we're doubtful in our lives. Yani, should I start reading Quran today or tomorrow? Should I leave the bead to start growing now or wala later? Should I make the decision of wearing the hijab now or later? Should I quit smoking now or later? We're always doubtful. He's telling us, رضي الله عنه, cut that from your life. Be honest. فَأَجْمَعْتُ صِدْقَهُ. خلاص, I was honest with myself. And I said, I will speak the truth and only the truth. Don't live a life that's on the edge. You make it difficult for yourself and you'll struggle. إِنَّمَا, you're supposed to always be honest with yourself and make no excuses. The story is all about the honesty of Ka'b رضي الله عنه. So he says, رضي الله عنه, it was now the morning when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he approaches and he arrives to Medina. By the morning, they're on the outskirts. That's it. Khalas, he's made his intention, he'll speak the truth. And he said, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam entered Al-Madinah. وَكَانَ إِذَا قَدِمَ مِنْ سَفَرٍ بَدَأَ بِالْمَسْجِدِ فَرَكَعَ فِيهِ رَكْعَتَيْنِ ثُمَّ جَلَسَ لِلنَّاسِ. And the first thing that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to do after coming back from travel, he would go straight to the masjid and pray two rak'at. Shuf, why did he do that? لأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم is teaching us the importance of a masjid in the life of a believer. He didn't even go to his family. Assalamu alaikum, Allah, it's been 80 days and we haven't seen you yet. لا أنت, المسجد is more important than your family. After a long travel, he would come to the masjid two rak'at and then he would sit down and he would sit down to the people and after that, he will go to his family and do the business that he's supposed to do. فَيَعْنِي صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. This is the meaning of when he said, وَجُعِلَتْ قُرَّةُ عَيْنِي فِي الصَّلَاةِ. That the happiness and the coolness and the delight of my eye was in as-salat itself. This is what it means. That he preferred it over his own family, even though he hasn't seen them for a very long time. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he sat, and now he's going to sit to the people. And now what's going to happen? 80 of the munafiqoon are in the masjid. They're looking at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam praying his two rak'at. Ka'b radiallahu anhu is there as well. They're waiting for him to finish and sit back on the wall. And each and every single person must sit in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and explain himself, why didn't you come out to Tabuk? Ka'b radiallahu anhu's turn is about to come. Inshallah ta'ala, next week, we're going to speak about what the munafiqun said. And then when it was Ka'b's time, what did he say? And did he have this doubt once again to lie? Or didn't he have? And what happened after it? And how did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the entire community of Medina deal with him? We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us benefit from that which we heard. We ask him subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us people of the Quran, people of the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Innahu waliyu thalika wal qadiru alayhi. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.